Philippians chapter 4, please turn with me. Philippians chapter 4. I know I say turn with me, but for some of you it means opening your Bible app and clicking a couple of times. Philippians chapter 4, beginning... Oops, might help if I had the right book now, wouldn't it? Philippians chapter 4. Oh, here we go. You're going to love this. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I got a call one day from a dear friend of mine, and all my life I've had some friends that have been older than me, and I've appreciated that. In fact, somebody told me when I was young, you know, you want to make friends with the wise. And there was a man who had been the minister of music in the church I grew up with. Very eccentric. He was a headmaster of a private school and played the organ, had a collection of organs at his house. Everybody in the church is constantly trying to fix him up with the single ladies in the church, and he wanted nothing to do with it. I'm not going to have any woman coming into my house telling me how my house should be organized and telling me how I should be doing my life. Okay. And we had some aggressive women in the church. I mean, they worked. And I remember him telling me, he goes, I don't want to be married. I'm happy being me. And he goes, in our day and age, people think you're gay if you say that. He goes, I'm not, I'm me. He goes, that's what I am. He goes, I am me. He was a wonderful friend of mine. Called me up one day. And I could tell by his voice that he was emotionally moved about something. And he goes, I'm concerned for our culture. And I go, what is your concern for our culture? He goes, we are living in a throwaway culture. He goes, you think about it. He goes, everybody, if things don't go good, people just throw things away. And he goes, but that's a metaphor for a lot of things in life. And I'm like, Forrest, where are you coming from? What's going on? And he goes, I'll tell you what's going on. He goes, my toaster broke. I'm like, okay. And he goes, I went to the electric repair shop and I brought it in. And they laughed at me. And I'm like, why didn't they just fix it? They just said, they don't even make parts for your toaster anymore. And I said, well, knowing my friend Forrest, I go, what's the deal with your toaster? He goes, it's one of the older ones. You toast one side of the bread, then you take it out and you flip it over and you toast the other side of the bread. I said, Forrest, this is the 20th century. Throw it away. He goes, no. He goes, and he went on this elaborate story of how long he's had the toaster and how much he likes the toaster and how this is a metaphor for life today, that if things don't work, people just throw them away. He goes, that's why we have so much pollution in the world, and that's why we have all these damaged relationships, and that's why we have churches that don't stand strong, because people just walk away from things. I had a similar thing this week. I did a brake job on my pickup truck. And it used to be when you would do brakes, you know, you'd put new pads on, and then your rotor, that little steel disc, iron, that's what the brake pads squeeze on. It used to be you'd take the rotors off and they would do what's called resurfacing them, turning the rotors. They'd resurface them. So if there was any grooves or anything, they'd just smooth them right out. And I was down at Napa, and I asked them, I said, do you know anybody in town that turns rotors? And they all started laughing. They go, nobody does that. I said, why? They said, he goes, you need to thank your Chinese friends. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, China has found a way of producing new ones so inexpensively that it is not worth your time or labor to have yours resurfaced. So take your old ones off and throw them in the trash, and I can sell you a new one, you know, relatively inexpensively. I said, really? You used to just resurface them and, you know, use them for a while. Not anymore. So now I got two great big rotors. They're going to be the trash man's going to wonder why my trash can is so heavy. It's not because there's rainwater in it. It's because there's parts that could have been fixed being thrown out. But as we look in the scripture here today, you have at the end of this letter, you got Paul talking about these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, and these two women are crosswise with each other. And we cannot beat up on women because men can be the same way. And we don't know why they're crosswise with each other, but they are crosswise with each other. And it is something that is affecting the church. Now, sometimes when people get angry at each other, I mean, sometimes rather than you fixing it, sometimes you just don't fix it and you stay mad. And it's easy for people who are sympathetic with one to come alongside this one, and or if you're sympathetic with this one, you come alongside this one. And before you know it, you end up with teams. Team Euodia or Team Syntyche. And I guess you got to choose which side of the church you're going to sit in. And if you have a church dinner, who are you going to sit with? Or if you decide you're going to break up and do small groups at church, you know, whose small group are you going to be in? And Paul was just saying, oh, I plead with them. And look at what he pled with them about. He says, I ask you, my true companions, help these women, since they have contended at my side, help them to have the same mind in the Lord. Now, there's plenty of things that we do not need to agree on. But that foundation of when it comes to the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ comes first, that is like a foundational thing. And that needs to be kept as the foundational thing. Like, if a church is operating the way that it ought to be operating, you could have a church that is made up of 50% hardcore Democrats and 50% hardcore Republicans, and there could be plenty of love to go around. Because I'll tell you what, although you may have very different opinions on how we go about doing things in the country, you know that on the thing that matters more than anything else in the world, that the Lord Jesus Christ comes first, that His Word is going to be a guide for our life. I mean, these things are foundational things. And other things, we can talk and dialogue and try to understand each other, but those are all secondary things.
They really are. They really are. And I want to encourage you. I think my friend Forrest, who has now gone on to be with the Lord, I think he's right on a lot of things. I don't think that we need to be fixing the 80-year-old toaster. But I think that sometimes when the going gets tough, it's very easy to just change and just let things go. You know, you think about it. We do it with a lot of things. We do it with restaurants. You go and you get bad service and you just don't go there again. But my gosh, it's gotten so that people are like that with a lot of things. I remember a couple of weeks ago I used a sermon illustration and I told you about these two particular women that had come to me at different times because they were very unhappy with their marriage. And one of the women who came to me just, it was weird. I don't even know why she wanted to talk with me because it wasn't like, I think she just wanted to inform me. She was informing me that she had made her mind up and that she was done with her husband. And she had on this list. And basically the list was she was unhappy how he did things and unhappy with things about his personality and... Yeah, you could take all of it and put it under that category. You know, it's like, has there been any abuse? Has there been any adultery? You know, I was asking the big ones. It's like, no, nothing like that. But, you know, she was just unhappy with how he often came home from work and he was very grouchy and you couldn't talk with him. And that I've got girlfriends that their husbands take them out on dates regularly, and he never takes me out on dates. And anytime I want him to do it, he just doesn't want to have any part of it. And the more she talked, the more I was convinced, lady, you don't have a biblical leg to stand on for wanting to get a divorce. But she didn't really want to talk to me. She was just informing me of what she was doing. And the last thing she said to me, she goes, I know that probably this isn't right in the sight of God, but I'm doing it. And I just close my mouth. I mean, what do you say? I just close my mouth. There's nothing to say. The other lady who came to me, her husband was such a bum. I can understand why she wanted to get rid of him. He lied all the time. And he was constantly losing jobs. He was such a bum. He was dishonest. He would steal things from the people he worked for. He lied to everybody. And so she talked to me and she goes, I want to do what God wants me to do. And I said, all right, well, let's kind of look in the scripture and see where God talks about marriage and things like that. Let's look. So we actually met a couple of times and we looked at the scriptures that address those things. And she finally came to the end of her search and she goes, you know what? My husband may never change, but I've been into this thing. And this time I think she was married for 15 years. And she goes, I do not want to be a divorced woman. I do not want my children to be children of divorce. I feel like even though this is difficult and being married to him is horrible and embarrassing sometimes, I feel like if I would walk away from it, I would be doing the wrong thing. So she goes, I'm going to try to be a godly Christian wife. That's what she decided. And I told you in the sermon, I mean, God blessed her and blessed her kids. And this husband of hers died after 2 years. And she ended up marrying a minister. Great rest of the story. Great. I'm still friends with her kids on social media, and they're all doing great. And I'm like thinking, dear God, that lady grew a lot through that whole process too. But I want to tell you, there's lots of people that will tell you that if it's not fun anymore for you, then just walk away from it. And people do that. They walk away from it. I've seen lots of it. I've seen people that are like, that wake up. I know some people make resolutions for the new year. I know one man made this resolution that he wanted to train and he wanted to get so he could do an Ironman triathlon. And he knew that even though he had a little child at home, he knew that Saturdays all day from now on are going to be my day for a long bike ride, because I'm going to be biking at least 3 days a week, and I'm going to be running, training, because I'm going to have to do a couple of marathons setting myself up for the Ironman, and I'm going to just train swimming 3 days a week. And he ended up surrounding himself with other people that were disappeared into the world of trying to train for an Ironman, found a woman that kind of had the same schedule he was, and they ended up training together. Oh, we're just friends. We're just friends. Yeah, make believe this is like a moving timeline. Ready? Oh, we're just friends. Don't think there's anything going on. We're just friends. We're just friends. I don't really feel like I'm connecting with my wife because she doesn't really understand. She's not really into these things. Me and my wife, we really don't talk that much. I'm really glad that I have my training partner that I can talk to. I moved out with my wife. My kids will have to understand later in life. I am getting ready for the big race, and I think it's going to go good. Me and my training partner are now living together. I've filed for divorce with my wife. I mean, training for the Ironman became more important than the marriage. And I wouldn't just call it just the marriage. It's a home. They had a home and they had a child. And really, the kid took a back seat to the training. But there's a lot of things that we can put up first. I know people have been so hip-ho about the job they're doing, and they just say, well, you got to understand, I'm trying to move ahead. I'm trying to make more money. And the home gets put behind, and they just let that thing go. Some things in life are just worth fighting for. There are some things that we're just not supposed to give up on. And our homes are one of those things, and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to be like that with your church family, too, because I'll tell you right now, in Claremont, in the year we live in, people move around. I talk to other pastor friends, and man, oh man, the bigger the church, the more, I mean, their people are like migrating animals. I mean, some of them move in big herds. You know, there have been times when something happened, a couple of years ago, something happened in the Methodist church downtown, and they had about 200 of them. And most of the people were all associated with real estate and this, that, and the other, or they're connected that way. They all kind of, the herd moved over to real life. Oh, real life's the greatest thing in the world. And I'm like, well, maybe they found the answer. And then the herd ended up moving over to Mosaic. But I mean, you'll hear about the herds moving in. That's how it works in Claremont. Get herds of people. I remember that when I first moved here, they had a big split at the First Baptist Church in town, which was one of the biggest churches in town, which created Calvary Church, and that was all the talk of the town. And but Calvary moved into FCC, then moved over to Real Life. Then, I mean, but what happens is you get long-term relationships. I know there's a lot of people, it's like, I had a guy tell me in the gym recently, he goes, I am friends with the people that are around me now. I said, well, what about people that you were close with 10 years ago? He goes, I don't have any part to do with them. I said, really? He goes, that's why I don't have anything to do with social media. I don't want people looking me up that I used to work with or I used to be friends with. And I said, well, what about us? I thought we were really good friends. He goes, well, we're really good friends right now. Okay. I had an older guy who lives like that one time explain to me, he goes, you got to understand, he goes, you just got to keep moving on. I'm like, okay, that sounds pretty good. Until one day, he was really quiet, and I met him, I was having coffee with him, and he was crying. And I go, what's wrong? He goes, I got a call from my son. Okay. He goes, I almost never talk with him. My son is so mad at me. I go, why is your son mad at you? He goes, because I went over 10 years without talking to my daughter. I said, why did you go 10 years not talking to your daughter? We had a fight about something, and I thought she owed me an apology, and I wasn't going to call her unless she called me. I go, how did it resolve? He goes, my son called to tell me she had cancer and only had a very little bit of time to live. I said, did you call? He goes, yes. I got to talk with her one time before she died. That's not how us Jesus people, there may be times where we're like Euodia or Syntyche and we get all crosswise about things. It could happen. It could happen. But as Christian brothers and sisters, we got to lovingly find ways to work things out. Because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know? We are. Now let me wrap it up. Some things are worth fighting for. Some things we have got to fight for. Our family, our church friendships, our marriages. Paul closes out like this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And I'll tell you, we can take care of a lot of problems in life by trying to embracing gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So embracing gentleness and being at peace in God will help adjust our attitude in how we look and we listen to things. I had to go to the auto parts place yesterday. I walked in, the lady at the place where I went to looked angry. She kind of looked like she had angry tattoos and she had angry piercings and she kind of had angry written all over her face. And I was like, whew. So I thought, well, I tried to, in my mind, answer all these questions of what she was like. So in my mind, I thought I had figured it all out. And then, so I said, how was your Christmas? Fine. How was yours? Well, why was it fine? Pausing. She didn't really want to answer a question. But then got her talking. She started telling me she's got two little kids. And she's moved into the area, really hasn't gotten to know anybody. She just does her work to do her work because her life is her husband and her kids. And the more she started talking about those people she loved, the more her face softened. And she almost seemed like a different person. And I'm glad that I was gentle with her. When we're at peace at God and we're gentle with people and gentle in how we regard them, it changes conversations and opens up doors. Finally, when you think about things, it says, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I want you to think about that when you think about social media. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Apply that to movies that you watch. Apply that to shows you watch. If all things are doing is getting you all uptight,
or all wound up over something.
Whatever you heard or received from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is how I want to close out my message. The reason that you are here at church today is because God has been at work in your life, and where you're at right now is a reflection of God has already invested a lot in you. Your Christian walk, everything, it's not like you've got to where you are today by all your hard work. No, God is the one that's been leading you, and you are where you are this day because you've been listening to him and cooperating with him, but it's been him that has been in you, developing you and bringing you. 2020, he's got a plan for you. He is not interested in you kind of staying the way you were in 2019. He's got a plan for you. He's got places he wants to take you. He's got stuff he wants you to do. He's got ways that he wants you to grow. And so I just want you to just be at peace knowing that somebody so much bigger than you, who can see so much and has unlimited resources, is at work in you. And you just need to relax in that. It's not all about you working harder in 2020. God's at work in your life. You just need to trust the work of the Master. You need to be at peace. In his time, he's going to work things out. You need to trust him. All right, let me pray for you, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up and close us out. Dear God, thank you so much for today. And I pray that you would help us. And I know there's plenty of things that we throw in our trash cans, like my brake rotors and Forrest Perkins' old toaster. But I pray that we wouldn't get so mad that we'd throw each other in trash cans. I look around this room, Lord, and I just can't help but think how blessed I am that I've been able to be friends with Scott Hutton all these years. And I think about Sharon Richmond and how much she means to me in all these years. And I think about Miss Louise. So many, Lord. And I'm thankful for relationships that last. I thank you, Lord, for marriages that last. And I just pray, Lord, you'd help us. Help us to do our part. I ask you to bless us. Give us your wisdom. Give us your favor. And we're just going to be at peace. We don't know how you're going to do things, but we're just going to be at peace and we're going to trust you. Because you are our God. Amen.